subject, dining with the Lord. Dining with the Lord. Brother Smith.
My dear friends, Sister Bessie and I are very grateful to the Lord for the privilege of being here. It's nice to see you all again and see some of you that I've never, or meet some of you I've never seen before. I bring you the greetings of our little ecclesia. There are a dozen of us. I also wish to take this opportunity to thank the Rice family who have already served us so well. I feel that Margie and some of the younger ones have certainly done a lot for us already. In Revelation 3:20 we read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." Now, this verse in Revelation is of extreme significance to us, for it is contained in the message to the church of Laodicea, and we are living in the Laodicean period. This text may sound very simple, but when it is carefully studied and analyzed, we find that it is portraying a profound experience to all those who are the Lord's people in the Laodicean period. The text is not mere rhetoric, but describes the special blessings that have come into our lives, that are molding us and actually directing our interests for all eternity. What does this text really say? "Behold, I stand at the door." This could mean only one thing, and that is the Lord is present. I stand at the door and knock. Knocking at the door is a way a person makes his presence known to those who are on the inside. We hear with the ears, and so this means that we hear a message of some kind. Besides knocking, the Lord speaks, and his voice has accents that belong only to him. Then the text says that if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. If anyone is too occupied with his own affairs or is only interested in the things of this life, then naturally he will not even hear the voice of the Lord. But if one is longing for a voice from heaven, then that voice will be heard, and hearing it, the door will be open to let the Lord in. But this is not all. We don't merely let the Lord in and welcome him, but the text indicates that the Lord will sup with us and we with him. Now this little word "sup" could escape our full attention. It is a short word and sounds somewhat like that little word "sip." And "sip," as we know, means to take a little drink at a time. But when we look in Strong's Concordance, we find the word "sup" means to eat a main meal, to feast, to dine. So then, when the Lord sups with us and we sup with him, we're having a large meal together. We dine, we feast, we eat, and we drink together. What pleasant thoughts are associated with being with a dear friend, especially one who is an important person, and dining together? We feast together on food that is abundant and delightful to the taste, and then we converse with one another on topics of mutual interest. This is indeed a very happy experience. Now let us talk about what really happened to us as Christians in connection with our text. I don't suppose there are any two of us that have had exactly the same circumstances which brought us within the hearing of our Lord's knock, and the hearing of his voice, and the opening of the door to let him in, and then the resulting feast with the Lord and he with us. But one thing, dear friends, we can be sure of. The results have been the same: a profound satisfaction of mind and joy of soul, sitting together with the Lord in heavenly places. While the text says that if any man, that is, any individual, will let the Lord in, he will feast with that individual, yet the Lord has many individuals as his people. And these individuals assemble with one another, and together they feast with the Lord, and with one another, and the Lord feasts with them. It is an important fact indicated in the text that the Lord feasts too with his people. So let us go into detail now and review our actual experiences. As individuals, as assemblies of individuals, as we dine with him, and he dines with us. This dining, of course, is in reality a dining of spirit. In literal language, it means a satisfaction of mind and a corresponding rejoicing of heart. And it is a mutual affair. All the Lord's people are dining with one another, and the Lord is dining with them. We're going to think back to our actual experiences, and what we shall have to say will not be a play on words or anything emotional or anything forced or artificial. Rather, we're going to call to mind what really happened in our lives, in our dining with one another and with the Lord. For convenience, we're going to divide this dining into seven courses. And then there are important side dishes too, all served by our present Lord. We think of the first course as the divine plan of the ages. As we started in on the first course, the first morsel of food that caught our attention was earth's night of sin to terminate in a morning of joy. What a wonderful thought was here. That which was so distressing to us, earth's night of sin, was to terminate in a morning of joy. What expressive language this was, and how we feasted upon it. And our hearts went out to the Lord with deep gratitude as we enjoyed the food he prepared for us and feasted on himself. The next morsel was such a satisfaction to us. What a pleasure it was to chew this bit of food. The existence of a supreme, intelligent creator established. We were already sure there was an intelligent creator, but this bit of food gave strength to our conviction, and we feasted with the Lord on the wonderful fact that a supreme, intelligent creator existed. Next, our Lord directed our attention to another bit of food, very similar in meaning. The Bible is a divine revelation viewed in the light of reason. Again, our hearts went out in gratitude to the Lord. When we saw so clearly that God's word was indeed based upon reason, and we were invited and encouraged to use our minds on religious topics. The next portion was good for our sense of order, to learn that God's plan was divided into epochs and dispensations, and that each division was a part of a grand plan that was working out finally to man's eternal blessing. We feasted upon this, and we felt the Lord was feasting with us. Helping ourselves to another piece, we learned that one of the features of the divine plan was in the form of a mystery. None could even understand that mystery unless they entered wholeheartedly into that plan. And then they became a very part of the mystery. How it thrilled our souls when we read, "Christ in you, the hope of glory," and how our hearts raced to the Lord to feast with him, and to resolve that we too, by the grace of God, would endeavor to cooperate in the purpose of the mystery and try to have the Christ mind in us, that eventually we'd be a part of the Messiah, share his glory, and work with him beyond the veil. We sliced off another piece of the first course, our Lord's return, its object, the restitution of all things. As we masticated this food, we felt a powerful surge of gratitude in our hearts toward God that he was so kind and generous to his human creation, and what a relief of mind it was to us to learn that God's love was not limited to his special kindnesses to the church, but that he had a feast of fat things prepared for mankind in general. What feasting, what rejoicing with ourselves and with the Lord. We continued to eat. And what a satisfaction of mind it gave us when we learned that evil was permitted for a grand and noble purpose, to benefit the human creation in general and as a special test to the church. We could literally feel our gratitude growing more and more. Our attention was directed to another piece of food, the Day of Judgment. How good this food tasted to us. It reduced nervous strain, as we saw so clearly that the Day of Judgment was not an awful 24-hour day, but a thousand-year period of testing mankind. All will have a fair and loving opportunity to be tested for eternal life. We feasted with the Lord on the fact of this wonderful love in dying for the race to make this blessed judgment day possible. Ransom and restitution, again we feasted with one another and with the Lord as we saw the philosophy of the ransom and restitution. Yes, our dear Lord gave himself a ransom sacrifice so that man could be restored to all that was lost in Eden by Adam's transgression. Lord, you are such a wonderful person. Thus we feasted with him. But there is still more to the first course. Spiritual and human nature separate and distinct. This enabled our minds to reason more clearly. We came to understand that there was not a confused mixture of natures, but each nature was separate and distinct, and each one had a glory of its own. And we are given the grand hope of experiencing a change of nature from human to divine. What a feast with the Lord, and the Lord with us. The next morsel of food increased our spiritual eyesight. Explanation of the chart representing the plan of the ages. The mist over our eyes gradually disappeared, and we could see so clearly that there were three worlds and various ages, and there were several planes of being. The final picture in the chart was in the form of a pyramid. At the very top of the pyramid was the anointed Christ and his bride, and then the great company, and below that the ancient worthies, and restored Israel, and the great bulk of mankind under restored to Edenic perfection. Our next bite of food, or we should say two bites, were the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God, and this removed a bitter taste from our mouth. How we rejoiced with one another and rejoiced with the Lord to know that the bitter kingdoms of this world were to be displaced by the sweet kingdom of God. How delightful this was to our spiritual taste. Thank you, dear Lord, for the promise of the kingdom of God. We can imagine the smile of approval on our Lord's face as he noted our constant rejoicing in the truth. The next morsel of food had the effect of clearing up a bad headache. How distressing the intense trouble in the world that was coming to be more confusing as time went on. The Day of Jehovah is the time in which we're living and is the working of the kingdom of God to break down the old order to make way for the new. What rejoicing of heart and gratitude to God and to Christ was brought into our lives by the first course of food. Then our Lord brought to our attention the second course. The time is at hand. How it delighted our hearts to learn that God has special times and seasons appointed for the outworking of his plan. This understanding was intended to keep us awake to what was going on so we could not slumber or would not slumber with the sleeping world. Our hearts raised in thankful praise to God and to our present Lord in favoring us with this special wisdom. Promised in Daniel's prophecy, the wise shall understand. Bible chronology was such a blessing to us, and we feasted on the knowledge that we know where we are on the stream of time, that we've actually entered upon the last thousand-year day of man's 7,000-year week. Our minds and hearts were becoming more and more satisfied. Thank you, dear Lord. And our Lord would say to us, you are welcome, my dear brethren. Our Lord said to us in the form of the chapter entitled The Fulfillment of Time Prophecy at the First Advent of Christ, consider the interesting prophecy of Daniel 9:23-27. Note how this gives you the key to the understanding of prophecy in general and the work of mine during the 3.5 years of my ministry and the 3.5 years following until the good news was given to Cornelius. Thank you, dear Lord. Now we feel that we can indeed understand prophecy better. Another feature in the second course, the time of the Gentiles, this had the effect of overcoming our feelings of depression because of the unrighteous rule of Gentile dominion. Thank you, dear Lord, for making clear to our minds that only 4 universal Gentile empires are permitted in the divine plan, and that we are now in the time of the great change to the 5th universal empire. As we feasted upon these things, we came to have more and more rest of heart. As we cut off more and more meat of the second course, it tasted delicious, the manner of our Lord's return and appearing. Dear Lord, how thankful we feel that you provided this strong meat for us. Now we will not look for thee in the flesh, but will understand that you will be present and invisible and carry on your work, and only your immediate followers will know of your presence and what is going on. Thank you so much for explaining so carefully the meaning of the symbols, of the shout, the voices, the trumpet, and so forth, and how or in what way you will come in like manner. We will not look for you up in the sky, but we will recognize you by the signs of the earth, and especially by the food that you have provided for us so abundantly. Earth's great jubilee, another tasty dish in the second course. How we feasted on this knowledge that the type teaches that there will be a time when man will go through a process of restoring him to all that was lost in original inheritance in the Garden of Eden. And 2, that we can see evidences that we're actually in the period of Earth's great jubilee since 1874. Thank thee, dear Lord. You are welcome, my dear brothers. This knowledge is just for you. We thank you, dear Lord, for the interesting treatise on the parallel dispensations, especially for our pastor's supplementary remarks in his very late articles before he died. We rejoice to know that thou hast returned and resurrected the sleeping saints, and we look forward to being joined with you with the resurrected saints. Elias shall first come. What delightful food this was, and how we were marveled at the spiritual perception of that servant used of the Lord to interpret this prophecy for us. We feasted upon this, and we also thank the Lord that we understood about the work of John the Baptist and the larger and grander work of the antitypical Elijah. We can see the great curse that is on the earth because mankind was heedless of the ministry of the antitypical Elijah all down through the gospel age. We especially appreciated and felt instructed by the chapter on the man of sin, the Antichrist, and we recognize the Antichrist in the papal system and that it is being gradually destroyed by the brightness of our Lord's presence. This understanding is a special favor to us, so we can understand the signs of the times around us, and we're not looking for some man to be the Antichrist. How it thrilled us, the final morsel of food in the second course. The time is at hand. Yes, dear Lord, we see evidences all around us that the work is now in progress to bring in the everlasting kingdom of righteousness. The third course is thy kingdom come. We marveled at the deep spiritual perception of the one chosen to explain the prophecies pertaining to our day. We felt refreshed and instructed by the explanation of the 11th chapter of Daniel. We learned that we're in the time of the end and in the day of his preparation. What happiness it gave us to know that the forces of God are at work in the earth, preparing for the full establishment of the kingdom of God. We continue to feast from the table of the Lord. Days of waiting for the kingdom, periods of time were made clear to us. The 1260 years of papal dominion from 539 to 1799, the 1290 years until the start of the purifying, cleansing, refining work amongst God's holy people, and then the 1335 days, the end of which would mark the beginning of the wonderful provision of the harvest message, the feasting that we're talking about right now. How refreshing it was to learn about the 2300 days of the 8th chapter of Daniel, the cleansing of the sanctuary. In 1846, the cleansing work began, and it started with the important doctrine of the justification by faith. And ever since that time, the cleansing work has progressed until now we have clean and spiritual food, a healthful spiritual food to eat. It is not only delightful to our spiritual taste, but enables us to be in the Lord's service and grow strong as new creatures. There were two big helpings of food, one the time of the harvest and the other the work of the harvest. The harvest is the end of the age. We are enabled to recognize our present Lord as the great royal harvester, finishing up the work of the gospel age. And we are given the privilege of cooperating with the Lord in the noble work of finding the final grains of wheat and giving them the harvest message for their final preparation for their work beyond the veil. What a blessed work this is, and how important its purpose is. We thank Thee, dear Lord, for the opportunities and honors we have of working with Thee in the vineyard. What joy it gave us to learn of the deliverance and exaltation of the church. The sleeping saints are raised when our Lord returned as a nobleman, and as each one finishes his course, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, for they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. No need to sleep in death anymore, but as we finish our course, we are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How thankful we are for one another when our Christian course is finished, to believe there is an immediate change from human to divine conditions. No wonder we're feasting together with our Lord. We remember how our Lord comforted His disciples with His words, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." An important part of the strong meat is the restoration of Israel. How it thrilled us to learn of God's intention concerning the restoration of Israel, and that we can see this taking place already. Israel is being restored. Eventually, with the ancient worthies at the head, the nation of Israel will be the very center of the kingdom of God on earth, and all nations will flow into it. The third course of our feast ended up with a thrilling declaration of Isaiah 52:7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." The Lord honors us with this blessed message today. There's a little side dish to the third course. The testimony of God's stone witness and prophet, the great pyramid in Egypt. This side dish was very pleasing to the taste and strengthening to our faith. The fourth course was quite meaty, the day of vengeance. This was a wonderful eye-opener. We were enabled to see the true character of Babylon and the various institutions of man and the schemes of men. We came to see more clearly that there is indeed only one remedy for man's ills, the kingdom of God, the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. This fourth course ended up with the cheerful phrase, "Jehovah's footstool, the earth made glorious." The earth was made to be inhabited, and the earth abideth forever. What a feast we have been having. And it doesn't end. The fifth course was a combination of milk, bread, and strong meat, the atonement between God and man. What a feast this was in itself. As we ate from this fifth course, we got a feeling of stabilization. We came to see that the very center of God's atonement was accomplished by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. This was the hub of God's plan. Our hearts went out in gratitude to God, the author of this wonderful plan of atonement. We had communion with God as the author of all our spiritual blessings. As we eat more and more of the fifth course, we became better acquainted with our beloved Redeemer. He is the mediator of the atonement, and so many things are true of him. He is the only begotten one. He is the undefiled one. He was made like unto his brethren and was touched with a feeling of our infirmities, how it made us feel close to him when we knew that he was like unto us in the sense of his being a new creature, and that we too are new creatures. Our Lord had experiences here on earth and could understand us and comfort us as Christians. Our Lord was David's son and David's Lord, and what a pleasure of mind it gave us to know that Jesus was David's son according to the flesh, and he is David's Lord in the sense of being David's Redeemer and Lord in the next age. Our Lord is the son of the man, and how we came to admire his worthiness as the perfect man. We came to appreciate him as the chiefest among 10,000. And yes, he is altogether lovely. As we ate generously of the fifth course, our minds and hearts continued to expand toward God and toward our wonderful Lord and Redeemer. Could we possibly describe in words our feasting upon the truths concerning the Holy Spirit? Nothing on earth today compares with the wonderful chapters in this fifth course on the Holy Spirit, the channel of the atonement, the Holy Spirit of God, the baptism, witness, and seal of the Spirit of Atonement, the Spirit of a sound mind, and especially on the chapter supposed objections considered. How many of the Lord's people have been richly blessed on coming to an accurate understanding of what is meant by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the witness of the Holy Spirit, and the seal of the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of a sound mind. This spiritual food elevated our intelligence and enabled us to enter more fully into the purposes of God for his people. We work to have a disposition, the spirit of truth, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of righteousness, the mind of Christ, and would be set free from the confusing doctrines of the Trinity. How delightful to the taste these choice viands of heavenly truth. Gradually we were freed of confusing ideas about man himself, what we really are as human souls, and about Sheol and Hades and Gehenna. We were breathing the pure air of heavenly truth, and we gradually sensed that we were becoming strong in the faith, and we enjoyed the wearing of our very large helmet of truth. We came to have a clear and intelligent hope as the words mortal and immortality became more clear to our minds. We rejoiced at the prospect of man coming to perfection, and his mortal being would be sustained for all eternity. And we were inspired to strive for that greater hope of sharing the immortal nature of our Lord and Redeemer, the very pinnacle of life, the crown of life, life within ourselves. We came to understand that the wicked would never be continued in life, but would be destroyed from the face of the earth. What a relief it was to know this, and that the eternal torment doctrine was merely a bad nightmare of the dark ages. We were instructed in the philosophy of atonement, knowing that a ransom was necessary because justice must be satisfied. How our hearts expanded in joy and thankfulness to God when we learned from God's holy word that Jesus died a ransom for all. He is propitiation not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. A ransom for all to be testified to all in due time. Jesus is to be the second Adam, the second life giver, and we look forward with joy to be associated with him as the second Eve, and we will have the pleasure of mothering the new race restored from the tomb. We felt greatly honored and feasted with the Lord on the truth that authorized us to be ministers of reconciliation. We're the Lord's representatives in the earth to give forth a message to all who will have a hearing ear. Be reconciled to God is what we say, authorized by God. And to those who might respond, we have the delightful privilege and joy are ministering to their spiritual needs. What a feast! But there is more. The sixth course, the new creation, the richest food of all. The writer of this sixth course carefully laid the foundation for understanding that there's a new creation. The first creations were the earth and everything necessary for man to live on the earth. And then the creation of the first pair placed in the Garden of Eden. As we scanned the food in the sixth course, we saw that this was indeed something in addition to man's creation. The head of this new creation was our Lord Jesus, and the followers of Jesus constituted the body of the new creation. Our hearts bowed in awe as we came to realize the great favor extended to us, an invitation to become the bride of Christ, a special election, and what grace is accorded this elect class. The tests are very exacting, but God does not invite and then leave us on our own. No, He provides strength and instruction so we can meet the tests successfully. He wants us to win if we are willing. In considering the call to the new creation, our beloved Lord becomes to us our justification, our wisdom, and our sanctification. We're alerted to the fact that while God does His part, we must do our part to be sanctified by the truth. What communion of heart we come to have with God and with the head of the new creation. The new creation predestinated. How this increased our reverence for God to realize that God's wisdom and power were such that from the very foundation of the world, He planned to have this new creation. And two, the various individuals of this class are in no way forced into this calling, but are exhorted to sit down and count the cost. Our awe increased when we realized that we became the King's very own, when we became members of this new creation. We came to appreciate Paul's wonderful example. I press down upon the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We ate another slice of the sixth course, the organization of the new creation. We found that we are pictured as living stones being shaped for the temple of God. The 12 apostles of the Lamb are the foundation stones of this new creation. These were holy, heavenly thoughts indeed, and raised our minds far above anything on this earth. Another slice of the sixth course, order and discipline in the new creation. We learned that there was a true ordination, an ordination of the Holy Spirit, and that ordinations of men are not recognized of God. The assemblies of the new creation must recognize the rules of holiness and sound doctrine. More and more food in this sixth course. The law of the new creation, it is the divine law, and those who have the spirit of sonship rejoice in this law of righteousness, holiness, truth, and love. It is based upon a voluntary obedience because God is not satisfied with any other attitude. As we ate more and more of this sixth course, we found ourselves being exalted to a higher plane of understanding the purposes of God and of entering into those purposes willingly and thankfully. Constantly, we found it emphasized that we're accepted only because we are in Christ, and that we must not try to stand in our own strength. Rather, we are to turn to and use the strength from above. the rest or Sabbath of the new creation was such a blessing to our hearts. We have rest in God because we're in Christ, and we have the peace of God which passeth all understanding, and we look for that perfect peace and rest beyond the veil. What feasting together we have, dear friends, with one another. Yes, and the Lord feasts with us as we commune together in spirit. We learn that the new creation must learn to exercise proper judgment. We must judge ourselves constantly. That is, we must be careful of our thoughts and words and conduct, that they be in good harmony with the Word of God. God looks on the heart, and we're not judged by imperfect works, but by the Spirit we have. And as God is merciful to us, we must in turn be merciful to others. Another important morsel of food was the baptism of the new creation. We came to have clear thinking on the significance of baptism in all its forms. John's baptism in water for repentance, Jesus' baptism in water symbolizing the immersing of his will into the will of God, our water baptism similar to the baptism of Jesus in water, baptism into Christ, baptism into his death, baptism of the Holy Spirit. How satisfying these morsels of food were to us. Then, too, we learn the significance of natural Israel's baptism by fire. They're going into the time of trouble in the year 70 AD. The item of food that seemed to bring us into closest relationship with the Lord in our feasting of spirit was the Passover of the new creation. Our hearts bowed in awe as we noted our Lord's faithfulness in playing his part in the divine drama. He was our willing Passover lamb, and we had his blood sprinkled upon our houses. And we were invited to participate with him and with one another in laying down our lives with him. We saw more clearly than ever that we as Christians are indeed pilgrims on this earth with sandals on our feet and staff in hand. And we eat this wonderful Passover lamb and feast upon the unleavened bread of truth. And we also eat of the bitter herbs of Christian experience. As we ate of this food from the sixth course, our hearts were united to the Lord and with one another in communion of spirit. What a satisfaction it was to our minds to learn of the marital and other privileges and obligations of the new creation. We have the treasure of the new mind in an earthen vessel, and there are many practical questions concerning our lives on the earth while we are still in this earthen vessel. Then, too, the practical and noble suggestions as to parental obligations of the new creation was a great blessing of mind and spirit. Those having children had guidelines for their responsibility in raising their families. And what a responsibility it is to those who have children to raise. My heart goes out in sympathy to those who are raising children at this time. So many other practical suggestions were given to us in sundry earthly obligations of the new creation. We feasted with the Lord on the high standards set for us as members of the new creation. Our beloved Lord made every provision for our nourishment and protection. The foes and besetments of the new creation was a great blessing in the form of warnings and directions for our conduct as we are surrounded by enemies within and enemies without. We came to feel that he that was for us was greater than all that be against us. And we were filled with peace, courage, and zeal. The last two morsels of the sixth course were very strengthening to us. The present inheritance of the new creation, the resurrection inheritance of the new creation. We are blessed of God with the first fruits of the Spirit, and we look forward with great joy to the fruition of all our hopes beyond the veil. Could we ask for more food as we dine with one another and with our Lord in our feast of mind and spirit? We certainly would think not. But there is a seventh course that is rich and sweet. But before we go into that, we'd like to mention another provision made by our Lord for our nourishment. An abundant supply of spiritual vitamins and minerals to take every morning to assist us to keep well and vigorous as new creatures. We have in mind our daily heavenly manna, and also the morning resolve and vow as valuable food supplements. And then there are other nourishing dishes that we can feast on at any time. Tabernacle Shadows, the Question Book, the Covenant Book, the Sermon Book, the Photodrama of Creation, to mention only a few. But what about the seventh course? We have in mind the wonderful articles written by our pastor all during his ministry. The Lord's people have appreciated these articles as priceless, as they represent our pastor's very intimate and personal message to the Lord's home. Many of these articles were supplementary to the six courses preceding. In our little ecclesia, we have for years followed the practice of reading from the reprints, the articles. We take a year, we started in 1960, went through that, 15 on back. We went back to 1907, then we start on 16 again, and now we're on 1915. And I've studied these for years, dear friends, and I think, as a personal testimony, these are a very, very important part of the ministry of our present Lord for our nourishment, for our instruction, and building up as we feast together and feast with the Lord. As part of the seventh course, we think we should include the final words of our pastor in the 1916 foreword to the six volumes. We think these 1916 forewords are extremely important. We will not attempt to go into detail as to the great importance and value of the seventh course any more than we already have, as it would take literally hours to do it justice. Those who have feasted constantly on the seventh course are filled with praise to God for this rich spiritual food. And if any of you have ecclesias or in ecclesias or wondering what you might take next after maybe studying through a volume, I suggest as something would be very valuable for you to read the articles in the reprints, starting in 1916 and then go on back. And so, my beloved brethren, we think the simple statement of Revelation 3:20 is fairly throbbing with practical meaning. To us, the new creation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Yes, we have experienced the fulfillment of this verse in our Christian lives, and we're filled with praise and thankfulness to God, and we have fellowship of spirit with one another and with our present Lord. We're indeed feasting with one another, feasting with the Lord, and precious thought, he is feasting with us. A final thought. As I finish my notes on this discourse, I had the thought flash through my mind. In our pastor's writings, we have a complete outline of the Christian life. There is nothing missing, and we do not have to go to the nominal system for a single item of instruction in the Christian life. Not one.